Welcome to the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker, a computer telecast where no legal advice is given and the lawyers are ghosts. Our only clients are topics of discussion, and there is no justice for the wicked or pristine. Your fake lawyers are Matt and Greg, two men with no redeeming qualities and with opinions of no value. Listen at your own risk, and with no further ado, welcome your hosts, Matt and Greg. This is July 1st, 2020. Our client today, we got a brand new client. It is Song Lyrics on Trial. So what do you got to say about that, Greg?
Dun, dun.
God, I should mention, we have a new guest host today. This is Brendan, and he's joining as at least a junior partner of the law offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker for today.
He's more of an intern at this point.
He's more of an intern. I'm an intern. Soon to be a rainmaker, but an intern nonetheless.
If hey, Brendan, get me some coffee. I need a cappuccino.
Brendan already knows that this is designed to get you a pizza. So
yeah, oh, that's good. Okay. And I'm almost got a garlic knot.
We're close. I think we've made about a quarter so far. But, you know, that could all change after Brendan's been gone here. He say he's going to be the rainmaker, so.
I'm going to bring the pizza home.
He's bringing thank that you. Whole roll of pennies to pour yes. over your head, Greg.
Wow, make it rain.
So our client is going, why are they talking to each other when they're supposed to be talking about me and my issues? And this is our first litigation, actually. This is the first time we've gone to trial. So this is the trial of Song Lyrics. Now, this is a client that Greg brought about and pulled together and coaxed into our offices. So, Greg, you're going to have to give us a little more details here. What are we going to do with
this? Well, I've been vigorously trying to get this client when I was just at Jacobian Myers, when I was just a small, poor lawyer. And now that we have this great law firm that's not a law firm.
So you're a tiny lawyer?
Yes. It was a Saturday Night Live character sketch from the 80s. Tiny lawyer. No, I've been trying to get this client for a while. We got them. We finally got them.
Uh-huh.
And
but they're on trial now.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got to, some are going to defend them. I'm actually going to prosecute more. Because even though they're my client... Uh-huh. I'm actually the prosecuting attorney.
You feel like they deserve to go to jail? Is
there yeah. Right? I've been wanting to get them on trial so I can castigate them and hopefully maybe send some to the electric chair. Wow.
And I know your biggest issue is certain bands. Is there one in particular that you have the biggest issue with?
It's not certain bands. And it's basically there's two kinds of egregious, I'm trying to sound like a lawyer, egregious song lyric foulness. It's, you know, for years, basically for decades, it was just insipid. Like, hey, baby, I love you. Get in my car. We'll drive around. Just like every song, as long as it rhymed, just throw it up there. Uh-huh. It'll work.
Like, what would be an example of that?
Every rock and roll song.
Every
one. 60s. Every single one.
The entire 60s?
No, some of them had some poignancy, like Save the Last Dance for Me. That's a sweet little song. But for the most part, so many songs got away with being like, hey, baby, it's rock and roll tonight. We're going to dance. Dance the night. All right. I'm trying to rhyme off the top of my head. Then the 60s came around.
You're killing it. Go for it.
I was wondering rhymed with, though.
I just made that. Yeah. But then, you know, Bob Dylan came around, changed the whole Bob game. Like, hey, lyrics can be poetry and, you know.
Now, are we talking rock lyrics, pop lyrics? What are we talking about?
There's all kinds of lyrics, actually. Like, you know, even country. Uh-huh. And then, of course, later on, the hippie stuff came on. Songs could talk about anything. The Doors. Then punk rock changed even more. Like, no, you could talk about anything. You can talk about masturbating and whatever, fucking a dog if you want to. So the world of literary consumers. Yeah,
that was where the world changed. The fucking the dog genre was just blew up.
Oh, wow.
You know
that
song?
We're here out of the gate already. Anybody who's got their kids listening, they're giving lessons to you guys right now.
So. When Iggy and the Stooges recorded Now I Want to Fuck Your Dog, that was a turning point in rock history. No, but then I think something worse happened in a way. Maybe not worse. At least it was interesting. But bands just started being all obtuse and trying to, I'm a great poet. And writing these lyrics that might sound interesting, use colorful language, they were just, what the fuck are you saying? Like, you're not communicating any ideas to me. All you're doing is spouting nonsense.
Oh, I get it now. Now I think I understand your concept. So basically, your point isn't so much the lyrics being stupid about just rhyming, but they're people being pretentious. You have an issue with pretentious lyrics.
You can be pretentious and smart about it. Like Laurie Anderson is very pretentious. She has some songs that I like, some of the lyrics.
Yeah.
Not a lot of them. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, it's just basically, it's a laziness. It's like, you remember in college, there was all those kids you knew who were like, I'm a poetry major. And they could just spout out any shit up top of their ass. And be the top of their ass.
Like, but this podcast is what you're saying.
Exactly. So okay. I don't know why. I'm being hypocritical right now. So this is why I wanted to bag this client. And I'm curious on your thoughts. Do you have a problem with the majority of lyrics out there?
I don't personally have an issue with lyrics. I think they all have their place. I think that anything that somebody's creating is being designed for a purpose, whatever that purpose happens to be. Mm-hmm. And if they come off as pretentious, that's really in the ear of the listener. The listener decides if that's going to be pretentious or not, or if it means something to them. So, you know, is there a particular song lyric that you feel that is the most egregious in terms of, to use your lawyer terminology earlier?
Very good, Matt.
Yeah, I do what I can to repeat what other people say. So is there something that you had in mind that was an example of this pretentiousness or trying too hard to be smart or whatever it is you're talking about?
Oh, my God, where do I start?
Start with one of them.
Rooster, is that what you're implying? Matt did some research for me because he has a computer. And I've heard this song
many karaoke. Many people have those.
I actually have a computer.
Brendan has a computer, too.
Look at the fancy pants of where Bill Gates is. Oh, whoa, la-di-da. Stick your pinky out while you type into that. Why don't you?
Hey, I got my TRS-80.
You're in television, add-on.
I was going to say, just to jump in, I think one of the things that I thought about, you know, before getting drug into this was certain songs are really long, overly so. And what came to mind specifically, and I think, Greg, that you'll agree with me, I think, in terms of pretentiousness, was the song Roundabout by Yes. This song should be sent to the electric chair.
Because of its lyrics or just in general, its music as well.
It's
everything about it.
Everything about it. It hits all the high points. It's 8 minutes in length, which is just ridiculous. Unless you're, you know, there's a real reason to have 8 minutes of music. Two, in and around the lake, mountains come out of the sky and they stand there. Really? That's the best you got?
And they repeat it. A bunch of times.
Yeah, again and again, 8 minutes of that.
Let's say this over and over a few times.
So that would be the first song I would submit needs to,
The irony here is that I had planned on using Roundabout as an example of decent song lyrics.
Please, defend your client, Matt.
But then I changed my mind because I realized it's easily ridiculed, but...
But you like that song. You would defend that.
I do. I love that song.
It's right to exist and not go to the electric chair.
It is definitely a huge example of the excesses of progressive rock. But
I actually get physically nauseous listening to it.
But I can actually see what you're talking about with this. But I personally enjoy the melodicness of it. I enjoy the full song all about itself. But maybe that's because I am a pretentious man, and so it hearkens to me and
oh, definitely.
It pulls the strings of my heart in that way, where I can go, oh, I can pretend to be smart, too.
I concur with both of my colleagues on this issue, not to sound too lawyerly again, to lawyer up, but I concur with them in that...
Who are you talking to, Greg?
Who am I talking
to? With them. Aren't you talking to us?
Oh, yeah, I was talking to the listeners, I guess.
Right, there's no listeners except us right now.
You're right, I forgot.
We got one more.
That's right, the only listeners we have are people that I've hijacked into listening.
So I do concur that on one point, songs should rarely be over 2.5-3 minutes long. There's no reason for that.
What?
For the most part.
2.5 to 3 minutes, you're a crazy man.
Yeah, verse, chorus, don't chorus.
You can
That's
suck
the
it.
Motto of good songwriting.
No, it's not.
That's all you need.
That is incorrect.
No, I know.
Liar.
I'm
wrong. You're wrong. Wrong.
I think, Matt, this is the punk rock part of the both of us coming in. That a song, like a Dirty Rotten Imbecile song that's like 1.5 minutes, you're like, yeah, that was all we needed.
All right, hold on one second. Now, you just said Dirty Rotten Imbecile. Is that the name of a band?
DRI.
What, you're familiar with them, Greg?
Yeah, they're, well, DRI people call them. DRI.
Uh-huh.
They became metal, so they kind of got bigger than a punk band. Like, I know a lot of kids who know DRI now because they were punk metal crossover. But as I was going to say is that I do like parts of Roundabout and some Yes songs. Some of them are great, but then also I also agree that, like, guys, this could have been a 5-minute song. Would have been very nice. There's no reason for this excess. Of course, that's subjective. Some people, like, I love Marquee Moon by Television, and that's just almost the same thing going on for 7.5 minutes. So that, but that's not the lyrics. The lyrics are nonsense in that. There's a lot of, I wanted to add too, there's a lot of music and bands I love and adore. And all these years since I was a kid, I was like, their lyrics don't say anything to me. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about to this day.
Like, give me an example of the, I don't know what the fuck they're saying.
The Minutemen. Sometimes I, you know, and I love the Minutemen. I love, even some of the Clash songs are just like, oh, that's just, and I also wanted to add too, in defense of our client, even though I'm basically prosecuting them, putting them on trial, is that there are some exceptions. And for example, I gave Matt some lyrics. Maybe, I don't know if you want to read these lyrics, actually bring them before the stand.
Which ones did you want, Greg?
This is Johnny Cash.
Let's bring these people before the public.
The Man Comes Around by Johnny Cash.
So The Man Comes Around by Johnny Cash. Is there something in there in particular that you one highlighted?
Almost all the lyrics are just rich poetic language that is just, sometimes it's nice to have nonsense, you know. Oh, this guy strings words together. That's every now and then if you're really good.
Well, I think some of it comes straight from the Bible though, doesn't it?
I know, but that makes it more nonsense to me. So that's not a point in its favor. That makes me say, oh, that's even worse.
Because I think the first basic line of
it's all from the Bible. Yeah.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see, and I saw, and behold, a white horse. And that's how that song starts, is that's a spoken word part of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's
the whole line about it's kicking against the pricks. Like, I mean, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
That's straight out of the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of the pricks of the thorns. So with the thing you're talking about, the whirlwind is in the thorn tree, the virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
That is such great writing to me, even though it's nonsense. So sometimes I like give a
pass. Well, I mean, is it nonsense or is it telling the story of the impending apocalypse? That's what it's about, right?
But how, though? I mean, would you even know that's about the apocalypse if you just read that line? Like, oh, this is very dark and it's about an impending doom.
I don't know that it's necessarily for everybody, but if you listen to all of it, I mean, if you read the lyrics to all of it, then there's the concept of something bad is happening.
Yes.
Right.
Very vague.
The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last awful cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? So you have to take man as the metaphor of whoever the man is, whether it's God or
Jesus, probably.
Or it's, you know, the guy from Kung Fu, whoever it happens to be.
It's QAnon.
That's right.
I'm going to try to get us listeners by mentioning QAnon at least twice during every podcast.
Oh, I don't know if we want to go that round, but I think if we change When the Man Comes Around to When David Carradine Comes Around, it becomes a completely different song.
Or David Banner from The Incredible Hulk show, because he was always popping up.
Didn't it bother David you in The Banner. Incredible Hulk that they called him David Banner, not Bruce
yes.
Banner? It's like, why did they change the name?
You know why?
I never really thought about that, but you're right. Why was he David Banner?
You guys, for real, Stan Lee even once admitted this, because Bruce is a supposedly gay name.
It's a more feminine name, right? But there was really Bruce, feminine, but Bruce Lee was around at the time, so what are they talking about?
I don't know. But you know, there's that, like, Monty Python, I think, has a bit about Bruce.
Oh, speaking of song lyrics that have the word Bruce in it, what about the ELO song?
Don't bring me down, Bruce.
Who is Bruce, and what's he doing there in that song?
I don't know, but ELO is also kind of in the same category for me as Yes, as a band that should probably just be forgotten.
Oh, okay. I have to split Bruce ways song. With my colleague here. Oh, my Lord. They write great rock pop songs. They're catchy. I like catchy, you know. yes, we're like just wanking off and going off reading this, but ELO, a lot of times with succinct 3-4 minute, really catchy tunes.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, maybe it was just my upbringing, but there was a certain amount of that do-do-do-do-do, you know, with the telephone, do-do, that I just, again, to this day, I go, oh, no.
I really just want to hear the do-do-do again.
That was totally in pitch. Perfect pitch you have.
I think that's the electric part of the light orchestra.
Yeah, that's the amount of brainworm that song has become for me. It keeps me up at night, you know, do 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 do, you know, and my wife hits me, and you know.
But I think the two of you were like grew up with a lot of rage within you, and that's what caused you to gravitate toward punk music. And
not true at all for me.
No,
I was a wimpy little kid who was very. I had a great childhood.
I thought people bullied you because of your weight.
Not much. I mean, it wasn't like they beat the shit out of me, but yeah. I hated myself. I didn't. As I got a teenager, I became a little more. Self-hatred, but it wasn't anger. It was more just like, I suck. I'm the worst guy in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still love punk. I still wanted to like hear music that was energetic. Even when I listened to classic rock in the 70s, I always liked the classic rock songs like American Woman that were rock.
Not American Pie?
Not as much, no. Foghat. Yes,
while making you tap your foot.
Okay, can we bring our client back into this? One of the things I want to say is that, to be honest, when it all is said and done, I really think lyrics don't matter because Surfin' Bird is one of my favorite rock and roll songs of all time. And we all know how stupid those lyrics are. Utterly just, they're useless.
But the bird is the word.
The bird and ba 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 a lot.
Right.
Oh, that song. Oh.
Yes, no. From the Trash Men.
I love that song. That's one of the best, that's proto-punk. 1962, I think that came out. That is so rockin', that song, compared to anything else coming out then. It is just pure rock and roll.
Wasn't that considered like the surf rock era? I mean, that style of music?
It was actually a novelty song. The only reason you know it, because people thought it was funny. They thought it was funny. It's like, oh, look at this. It was like itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. It was on all those goofy albums, like Looney Tunes.
Nobody I was just hoping for you to get that song title wrong for a second there, because you had to think about it.
I can't believe, that took me a little, that was hard.
It's Itsy Teeny Weeny, White Picket Fencinini.
But it was like, I think it's a great rock and roll song, but for years it survived just as a novelty track. Like, oh, those wacky tunes of the 60s, you know, because it is zany. It's pretty bizarre.
Uh-huh.
So who are we bringing to court here?
I have no idea.
I think we're just taking
Greg to court, actually.
I think
yes, definitely deserves the electric chair.
I disagree.
I'm willing to give ELO a pass.
Yes is one of my favorite bands.
Maybe 20 years.
What about Alice in Chains, Brendan? Where do they stand?
I'm not an Alice in Chains fan.
Yeah.
I don't hate them. I don't think they should get the death penalty, but...
Oh, I do.
Oh, really?
I loathe them.
tell me why Alice in Chains deserves your ire.
Because their songs are just ponderous, just... No melody. I don't hear a hook in any of their fucking songs. These ponderous 5-minute songs. And the lyrics are nonsense. And we could bring them to trial right now since Matt also did the law intern work.
I mean, I wouldn't say they're lyrics. I mean, you specifically have this issue with the song Rooster.
That's an example of hundreds of songs I've heard, you know the lyrics of where I'm like, that's just so vague. Bullshit,
but
lazy song.
It's designed as a metaphor for the Vietnam War, and there's a specific line in it where it says, "Walking tall, machine gun man, they spit on me in my homeland. Gloria sent me pictures of my boy, got my pills against mosquito death. My buddy's breathing his dying breath. Oh God, please, won't you help me make it through?" How can you call that pretentious?
You know,
I could call it pretentious given that guy never went to Vietnam.
He was doing it as an ode to his father in this case, because his father had gone to Vietnam.
I didn't do proper research. I think I never made it to that line, Matt. That is clear. I get where he's coming from. But the other parts of the song,
even the first verse, okay? Ain't found a way to kill me yet. Eyes burn with stinging sweat. Seems every path leads me nowhere. Wife and kids, household pet, army green was no safe bet. So right there, you know it's... The army, right? Army green, I say, but the bullets screamed to me from somewhere. here they come to snuff the rooster being this guy. They're coming to kill me, is what that's talking about. You know, yeah, so he's not talking about himself, obviously, but, you know, people are allowed to write about other people. It's
yes.
That. Fair enough, fair enough. But how many people outside of, I don't know, the three of us really understand those lyrics?
33.
And how many are just going, here come to stuff the rooster, and just thinking it's about a chicken?
Yo, Matt, what is the rooster metaphor in this song?
It's the guy. The guy's name is like his name is the rooster. Is a nickname.
Oh, rooster, like that's a Sanford and Son character. You got Grady, you got Rooster, and you got
you got Sanford,
Stinky Foot, Rat. I know all
Stinky
these
Foot. Yes, he was my favorite character. He was the breakout character of that show. He had a spinoff for a little while. Lasted six episodes.
I would watch that Brandon show. Stinky Foot and Rat. I'd totally watch that show.
Okay, but Matt, is there a reason though to
Greg was in that show in the early 80s.
Is there a reason to say this rooster over and over? This is another thing I wanted to add about lyrics. Even okay. The good ones.
Yeah.
Repetition. Doug Stanhope has this routine. I saw him live. I thought he was having a stroke on stage. He just started repeating this line over and over. And everyone in the crowd at first was just like, kind of funny. He kept saying it over and over.
Yeah.
And it was dead silent. We literally thought he was having a stroke. Like, why is he like, his brain just collapsed? He was basically saying, and at the end of it, he said, yeah, that's a typical rock song lyric. For some reason, when you write lyrics, you're just like, I can write five lines for a 4-minute song and just repeat them over and over, no matter how shitty they're in the first place, even if they're pretty good. Yeah, but tell us something else about this topic that you're writing about. Songs get away with that. And the New Kids on the Block song that you have the lyrics to, Please Don't Go Girl, is not only is it the most insipid, typical, oh, I'm just going to make rhymes that are everything you've ever heard in every stupid, shitty love song. But we're just going to repeat them 3 or 4 times. Verse, chorus, it's so, the song's over.
Isn't that kind of apples and oranges, though? You're comparing New Kids on the Block to Alice in Chains. No one ever say that New Kids on the Block are a mainstream grunge band.
No, but everyone should have good lyrics. I mean, Hank Williams just wrote like simple 2-minute country songs. He had brilliant lyrics. I love Hank Williams' lyrics. Clever as fuck. Every line's a gem.
Everyone has to have good lyrics. I don't know about that. I think, like you said before, you're a big fan of The Bird from the Trash Man.
Yeah,
I am. I'm like, just add like 4 words that you think would elevate that song. I Own an Albatross. Is that something you had in mind to make it even more intellectual song?
Maybe there was at least the one refrain, everybody's heard about the bird. Could have been something that actually was like, oh, that's a meaningful little bumper sticker saying.
Like what, Greg?
What am I, fucking William Shakespeare? What am I, Bob Dylan? I can't, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. I'm...
You have these expectations. I figure you had something in mind in terms
okay,
of that.
Okay, that sounds a tough one, because he basically says 8 words in the whole song.
I think you're allowed to just extemporaneously say something right
now. A
lot
of songs, though.
Make something up.
The Black Lives Matter.
No. I thought we were staying away. I said QAnon, he's going to do Black Lives Matter.
For crying out loud, Greg. This is where editing will come in.
Yes, please. I'm on the spot here. I don't know what was important in 1952. What was that?
The bird is the word Black Lives Matter?
Oh, God.
It has a rhyme. So
but now here's where I think Greg makes a point, and I tend to agree in that When a song lyrics relies too heavily on a repeating refrain, it gets a little tiring for me.
Like, what would be an example? What would be a song that you would say besides "The Bird" from the Trash Man?
well, that's kind of quintessential.
Yeah, or "Wipeout" from the Safaris.
"Wipeout" is another good one. Let me think.
With no lyric.
It's kind of like, why don't we just eliminate choruses from songs then? Because those get repeated.
No, you could change the words. Still have the melody. No, I've done that in my songs.
No.
My songwriting.
Like, going back to my, ride this horse too much, but going back to my Yes example, the mountains come out of the sky and they stand there. How many times do they say that over the course of 8 minutes? Way too many. Way too many for a line that's a throwaway line at best.
They say it four times.
If you're an acid, it's probably a great line, though. It's probably really profound.
Yeah, and maybe it needs to be in there to sink in more so you can start envisioning the mountains staying there.
Coming out of the
sky. That's right.
And standing in the sky.
They come out of the sky.
And they when I was
the mountains come out of the sky. I mean, what kind of mountains are those?
When I was a kid, I honestly, for the longest time, thought they were talking about the Muppets.
The Muppets come out of the sky.
The Muppets come out of the sky and they stand there.
That would be such a different song. So, in and around the lake, Muppets come out of the sky and they stand there. 1 mile over, Kermit will be there and he'll see you.
Come on, you just improved that song 100%.
Super Grover.
30, 40 years, that song just got better.
It was like Grover was the one that you had in mind for that one.
Yeah, I was more of a Grover guy.
I think we could probably improve most songs if we throw the Muppets into them somehow.
Oh, for sure.
What would be, I think, gosh.
Instead of Rooster, maybe it's Gonzo.
That would be, here they come to snuff Gonzo. Ah, yeah. Yeah, here come Gonzo. Yeah, you know, he ain't gonna die. No, you know, he ain't gonna die.
Gonzo is never
Again,
gonna die.
Here they He'll come to snuff day. Gonzo. Ah, yeah. Or... There's so many that we could do that with. But, you know, those old rock and roll songs, those were pretty lyrically minimal. They're like minimal lyrics. They're not necessarily bad lyrics. They're just designed to create an effect in some way. Like you say regarding the bird from the Trash Man, it's designed to make you dance and feel something in that regard. So I think any lyric put to a song is designed for some purpose. It's the person who created it is trying to communicate some idea to you, whether you like that idea or not. Now, in terms of repetition, you know, I could agree with you guys to a certain extent with some things definitely get repeated too often. But I like the long, rambling songs. I like hearing those things. And sometimes when you bring in those concepts more than once, it helps cement them more because they may have gotten missed earlier on when you first heard the song. It may cause the song to become more appealing. I don't know. I was pulling out one of these old songs from the, I guess it's the 50s or early 60s, like Shake, Rattle, and Roll from Big Joe Turner.
Yeah.
So,
ridiculous. Shake, rattle, and roll.
Right, and it's over and over and over again. But within that thing which gets you involved, there are other lyrics.
About Black Lives Matter.
Why, Greg? Why? 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 So, but no, it talks about feminism in this, though. It's like, get out of that bed, wash your face and hands. You get in that kitchen, make some noise with the pots and pans. Where you wear those dresses, the sun comes shining through. I can't believe my eyes. All that mess belongs to you.
I believe, all that mess?
Yes. I believe to my soul, you're the devil. And now I know, well, the more I work, the faster my money goes. And I said,
so you're happy
shake,
that
rattle, and roll, shake, rattle, and roll.
You're happy that they had nonsense, and then they added some sexist, misogynist shit.
No, I'm saying this is what appeals to you, Greg. This is the thing that you appreciate, is lyrics that don't really have much meaning in the context of a song that makes you tap your toes and get up and dance, which is one of those songs.
Well, that song I like a lot.
Okay.
But, you know, the lyrics are terrible. I wouldn't, and not just because of that, just repeating Shake, Rattle, and Roll 50 times in a song.
Well, yeah.
He could have said other things. Not in that part, but he could have had better lyrics in that little refrain.
But that's part of the shake and the rattling and the rolling. It's like you have you get shaken a few times.
I'm just saying the refrain about like, yo, bitch, go in the kitchen, make me a sandwich. You know, those aren't the best lyrics, but
there's
a lot of bad lyrics.
The lyrics are a little more fun. Later on, I'm like a one-eyed cat peeping in a seafood store.
See, that's a clever little line.
I don't even know what that means. I'm a one-eyed cat peeping in
a
seafood
store?
It's a
penis reference.
That's definitely a penis reference.
I can look at you till you ain't... Oh, this is even better. I can look at you till you ain't no child no more. What?
That's a little odd.
Is it?
That's like something Donald Trump would say.
That sounds like something Chuck Berry would say. Anyway.
I think this song needs to go to pedophilia court. I think this is a pedo song.
Is that a separate court?
This is
I don't know.
Family court.
Yeah.
Family court, yeah.
We're talking death penalty here. We're talking you know, lives on the line. I guess, you know.
So this is merely a castration punishment.
Yeah. This is a chemical castration.
Chemical castration.
Sort of thing. The question becomes, I guess, you know, to sort of narrow our focus a bit.
Oh, that's not possible.
Okay.
Good luck, though.
Are we talking about, and I think Greg mentioned this when he talked about, started talking about, you know, first he started talking about Black Lives Matter. And then second, he started kind of riffing on sort of like gangster rap lyrics, which a little bit.
I don't remember gangster rap coming into this.
I don't remember that at all, but maybe I did.
It is possible that Brendan is the only lucid one between the three of us. So that's.
Here I guess it doesn't take a farce. It's not a giant jump from the one-eyed cat at the fish store to NWA.
If they were as clever as that, I'd give them a pass.
Right. Well, I guess my point was, you know, there are, you know, we could debate, you know, the lyrics and whether those lyrics are punishable by death. But then you get lyrics within a genre and whether those lyrics are punishable by death. So we've been talking specifically about rock music, you know, with Yes and others, and a little bit with punk rock. But is there a genre of music that just needs to be banished forever? Just needs to be sent to the big house?
Easy listening?
Easy listening.
Yeah.
I like where you're going with that.
I think maybe like anything associated with Afternoon Delight from the Starland Vocal Band.
I like a lot of songs from the 70s, though, that are probably lumped in there. And what about like the Mills Brothers' Glowworm? That's total easy listening, those 40s.
I'm not familiar with that song. I don't know. That's more of an oldies than an easy listening, though. Easy listening would be like the smooth sounds of the 70s.
I like some of those songs, I got to say. I'm sorry.
I was just tossing it out.
Afternoon Delight, I think, is an exception to your rule. That is an amazing song.
You're going to bat. You're the DA now.
I'm definitely defending Afternoon Delight as a song.
That promoted sex.
I know. And that's what's fucking awesome about it.
I know, in the 70s.
And it's afternoon sex. It's not night sex. It's very specific.
It's dirty sex out in public. All right,
so let's just do the lyrics. So, gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight. Gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, it's right. Why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always going to be there anyway. Thinking of you is working up my appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together makes the sparks ignite. And the thought of loving you is getting so exciting, skyrockets in flight. Afternoon Delight. That just reminds me of the scene from Monty Python when there's this guy in bed with this woman and there's like a camera and a screen set up and they have pictures of like factory
going down, demolished
or going up. Right? So it's like the whole skyrockets in flight metaphor thing is like, oh, wonder what that's supposed to be implying. So
like
I don't know.
Going into a tunnel.
Right, exactly. And that's what this song essentially is. It's like it's an overly shoved metaphor into your face. I can't feel the same way about this that you do. Started out this morning feeling so polite. I always thought a fish could not be caught who wouldn't bite. But you've got some bait awaiting, and I think I might try nibbling a little afternoon.
I forgot where these lyrics were. But I gotta say, I prefer that, like, to just insipid, like, baby, 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 I love you, baby lyrics.
Well, that's true. There's no baby babies in there. Because there are a lot of, I mean, I will say that all the songs that use baby so often, when I've never called anybody I've dated baby, that,
Because you're normal?
Yeah, can we just say that anyone who calls a girl baby that they're dating or likes to be called papa...
Daddy
has some damn issues. Let's just, you know.
Okay, I'm sorry. Guilty as charged.
What
did you
do, Greg?
I had a relationship like that.
Where you were called Daddy?
I dated a girl who was into that weird shit.
She called you Daddy?
The only time I did role play. Oh, yeah. It was crazy. It was weird.
What role play?
Yeah, the whole role play thing.
With song lyrics?
No, it just, I was your
Did you act daddy. Out like song lyrics, like from Afternoon Delight? Did you?
It was much worse than that. Let
ask
me
if she was
that.
A fish that you could bite and do a little nibbling in the afternoon.
Was there spanking involved?
Oh, that was just the start. Yeah, that was the first date. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, it was just like she was really into that kink. She was in that kink, and I realized I kind of liked it too. And it was like this is really disturbing, and yet. I mean, there's a lot of weird. With sex, I give everyone a pass. It's like whatever kink you have. I know it sounds
like if you don't mind somebody poking you in the eyes with needles, that's a good thing.
No, as long as it's consensual and not damaging. Like I don't get those guys who like people stepping on their balls. Do you know who's these guys?
Who end up obviously, you're not open-minded enough, Greg.
No, that's just they end up.
I don't even. I'm trying to even envision how they're stepping on my balls.
And what they're using the step, are they using their heel? They're using their toes?
It's like whatever.
The ball of their feet? Are they hobnail boots?
Some guys can only get off if people like damage their balls. And sometimes they have to go to the emergency room. It's like, that's a shitty fetish to have. I'm so glad. Yeah. I'm vanilla.
And we don't even go into that particular fetish.
Yeah.
And how are we getting into this? We're talking about song lyrics anyway.
Well, that's our show. That's what we do.
It's true. And somebody's got...
about sex.
There'll always be a point where someone needs to take us back to the client because the client's sitting there going, you're supposed to be defending me.
Yeah.
And saving me from...
where's my money going?
Doom of destruction. Where's my penny? Oh, I should look and see, since last week we'd only made a penny between the first and second episode, we should see, how far we've done so far. We've had 56 total plays, Greg, since last week. And so far, we're at 39 cents. So that's
closer to a garlic knot. I'm almost there.
That's the running total. But I don't know. I think I told you how we could finally make to really make money at this, we need to get 140,000 listens a week. So I think you need to start knocking on doors.
Yeah, going door to door. I think it's Brendan's going to be
our Ponzi. We have a podcast. Could you listen? It's on your phone.
We're going to talk about stepping on people's balls.
It has to do with music.
Valuable information.
What we're doing, we step on balls, then we can put it to music, and then people will buy it, and then you will like it hearing about that, right? Please.
Now I know that one of the ways to monetize this kind of stuff is through merchandise. So maybe we need some ball stepping on T-shirts.
Well, we've talked about T-shirts and taking clips from some of our conversations as slogans to put on a T-shirt. Like from our first episode, there was one about buses are better at cobra killing. So that's like one line taken out of context. Right. Then, well, we don't have to throw the steamroller in. We can just say buses are better at cobra killing. And then the second episode, not as good of one, but things are important.
No, it's better because Matt said it and I mocked him for like a full minute. Matt just was concluding an argument by saying, yeah, Greg, and things are important.
Like, things are important.
Things are important. Yes.
And I totally deserve to be mocked for it.
I would love that T-shirt. Things are important.
Because it opens it up to whatever. To whatever you want. Anyway, so in terms of merchandising, that would be something to do is that concept. And, or anything else that randomly pops up that may potentially pique someone's interest.
There may be a huge, public to tap into in terms of a, what do they call it, Patreon sort of things for people who are into ball stomping. Maybe we could be the official podcast of ball stompers.
They'll be our client every week. We'll just talk about ball stomping every week for the next 5 years.
Yes.
The virtues and the
different types.
And how would we not fall into the trap of bad song lyrics by repeating it over and over again? Which is a thing you guys have
because we have a fresh take on it. You can write about love many different ways.
So if you were to write a song, if you were to write a song about ball stomping, Greg, what would be like one of the first lyrics you would come up with if you're going to make a song about that? How would you try to convey this concept to somebody else.
Have 911 on speed dial, baby.
Yeah, you said baby.
You're going to stop my
ball. All right, you have to go to court because you said baby.
Well, I was trying to do a typical rock song, sorry. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Me up.
You threw baby in there. And we're baby, not talking about baby's balls either. So none of that.
I think you replace baby with bitch in that first.
And then that could be a modern song.
Yeah, it's more of
modern
a
song lyrics.
Aggressive ball stomper.
But people might get confused if you say bitch that you're talking about dogs. So we don't want
that
confusion. No, everyone thinks that.
That's a whole different genre. That's a whole different subset. Dog people.
Bestiality balls?
Well, we started with dog fucking, so I'm glad we brought it back.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Thank you. Yeah, I am happy too. Dog fucking. That's what I really wanted this client to be, but Matt wouldn't let me. And I said, Greg, we don't want that client. It's a little too controversial. And I said, Matt, people want to hear about dog fucking.
For those of you who are in our listening audience, we've certainly devolved from the original topic of song lyrics on trial to things that aren't fun for most
people.
Well,
can we do it a little more? Because Brendan had a point about
Although
that.
Things are important.
Things are important.
Let Brendan keep devolving the show with his dog fucking point.
I feel like I'm lost. I'm lost in some weird universe.
Just go
now.
With it. Go with it. Go with the dog fucking thing.
So try to bring this back.
I can't promote the show to anybody I know now.
Oh no. I'm gonna promote it to everybody I know.
All I know is this continues, it's definitely going to Brendan's wife.
Then we're all in trouble. So the question is, we were sort of centered on rock music and rock lyrics in general. We've talked about overly long songs, which is a pet peeve of mine. I think Greg concurs.
You know, some of them I just really enjoy. For example, Child in Time from Deep Purple.
You enjoy all of them. That's all you see in karaoke? Matt doesn't sing a song under 5 minutes of karaoke. Maybe once out of 100 songs.
That is incorrect, Greg. I did a couple of them the other night.
Very rarely, though. You always sing songs that are like 5, 6, 7 minutes long.
So what's wrong with that? They're fun songs.
I'm detecting
the
pattern.
They are, if you like it.
Yeah, exactly. If you like it.
If you like it. But still, I see no reason for, as a songwriter, a very bad one. I thought that was ludicrous. It's ridiculous to write a song that long. Verse, chorus, you get the idea. Let's do it again if
you
want to.
What's the
hear
point
more.
Of a song?
To write a catchy, question. To make a catchy tune that people say, the song makes me happy. I like
is,
it.
Or does it
not
have
happy.
To be catchy?
I like
just
catchy
be something
songs.
People enjoy in general?
Yeah, it could be a
can
mellow,
they,
pretty,
can they
beautiful
immerse
song.
Themselves in the full experience?
They can.
Okay, well, that's what the benefit of longer songs, because they add a lot more to them. It's not just listening to the same song on repeat. Sometimes you want a song to have lots of layers and a lot of depth to it.
And I
like
that.
A lot of music.
Smoking a lot of dope.
Well, we're not going to go. Yeah, after you, but dog fucking. But still.
No, you want, if you're into the dog lifestyle, you need that stuff. It's quick. You know, you don't want 10 minutes of that, for sure. I mean, let's be honest.
If you're into dog fucking,
I think if you're into that, you're doing meth is probably what's happening. And you want those really short 2.5 to 3 minute songs.
Yeah.
Because that's, if you spend too much time, you start realizing exactly the depth you fall into. And you'll have to take a really close look at the choices you've made in your life and go, perhaps I should be in jail right now.
Right.
That's
what
I have done. And that's why 2.5, 3 minute songs are bad. Because then it'll give people that opportunity to be introspective and realize those horrible things they've involved themselves in.
So
ball stomping and dog fucking.
So all ball stompers and dog doers should be forced to listen to Blue Oyster Cult, Deep Purple, and Yes on constant repeat.
It might have a positive effect on them.
Is that the judge's ruling today?
Not I don't know, but I'm suggesting that
put
is what.
Sentence to listen to Deep Purple for 50 years in solitary confinement. And but let me just say, Deep Purple, they wrote some long songs, but they were rocking as fuck. And I don't care that they're a minute over whatever they are.
Well, this one song is like 11 minutes long.
No,
most of it's not lyrics. A lot of it's just screaming. So,
well, that could be good. I'm saying there's always exceptions to this hard, fast rule.
Yeah.
But for the most part, most pop rock songs, whatever, don't need to be any longer than 3 minutes.
I think it's because you don't actually fully appreciate the musicianship of the people in these bands.
I love Jimi Hendrix.
Nah.
Jimi Hendrix had barely any songs.
I said
over
fully
like
appreciate.
Minutes.
You're just appreciating one member of that particular band.
No, I love the drummer even. Oh, Mitch
yeah,
Miller.
Yeah, what's his name?
Oh, I said Mitch Miller. That's the
Mitch Miller. And a one. And a two.
Yeah, no, what's his name? Mitch something, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
The drummer from Jimi Hendrix. Come on, help me out.
Because you enjoyed him so much, that's why you remember his name.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't appreciate any of those long-ass 70s stoner songs.
Why is that going out on a limb, Brendan?
Into Vita can go to hell.
Well, that's just not a very well-written song. That's a lame melody. It's not catchy. Blah, 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 blah. It's boring. And that's ponderous. But, like, what about, like, Joe Walsh, like, Rocky Mountain Way? Like, I love that song.
Joe Walsh is a good songwriter.
He wanks for 4 minutes, though. But he totally breaks all my rules. He wanks for 3 minutes on guitar, but it's a good guitar wank. You can write good guitar wanks that are interesting, melodic leads, if
you
will. So
what do you think about the lyrics to Rocky Mountain Way?
Nonsense, as far as I remember.
I mean,
what is he talking about?
I think it's ball stomping, isn't it? Isn't Rocky Mountain Way? Isn't that a ball stomping reference?
After you fuck the dog, yeah.
It's, yeah, okay.
And right. It's always back to that. We
I
can't
just
get away
fucked a dog, and now my balls are stoned.
Baby.
Rocky Mountain Way.
Don't forget the baby, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, basically, the lyrics to that song are pretty meaningless. Spent the last year Rocky Mountain Way, so you can infer that he was like out hanging out in the Rocky Mountains. Couldn't get much higher, out to pasture. I think it's safe to say, time to open fire. What does that mean? I don't know. And we don't need the ladies crying because the story's sad, because the Rocky Mountain Way is better than the way we had. So that could be that maybe he was out sobering up. That's possible.
He was stoned and shooting guns.
Telling us that changes it every day. Says it doesn't matter. Bases are loaded and Casey's at bat, playing it play by play. Time to change the batter. And we don't need ladies crying because the story's sad. Rocky Mountain Way is better than what we had. That's the end of the lyrics.
That's what so many rock lyrics do. They like almost sound like, oh, this, you know, Casey's at bat, blah, blah, blah. It almost sounds clever. Like, is he talking about something?
Well, I think a large part of the rock lyric. I mean,
he was just high.
I think most of the guys writing the rock lyrics all have very similar experiences, and that's what they write about. Like, how many songs are there about bands that got famous, and they tell stories about what they experienced while they were getting famous? Like, Turn the Page from Bob Seger.
Turn the Page. And oh, can I bring this up?
Jukebox Hero. Well, let me finish my examples.
Sorry.
So Jukebox Hero from Foreigner and Shooting Star from Bad Company and Rock and Roll Fantasy from The Kinks.
Metallica have that too. Metallica, don't they have a road song like The Road Is So Hard? Like,
yeah, they did a cover of the Bob Seger song, Turn the
Page.
No!
It
was the exact same song.
Every metal band has that song about how the road is so fucking hard and you don't know what it's like. And it's like, fuck you. You get sushi in your fucking green room every night and girls are sucking your dick. 50 girls want to suck your dick. Oh, God. I'm so glad I'm not in a millionaire rock band who's on the road. My heart gets out to you. That is such a theme in rock that drives me crazy, the road song, you know, like how hard it is.
Although my personal favorite of the road songs, which takes it in kind of a different direction, is The Loadout from Jackson Browne, where he's essentially talking about riding on the bus, and then the roadies are the guys who take everything off the stage, but he still wants to play one more song. So he doesn't take it from, like, the negative perspective in that song.
Yeah.
And that's like an 8-minute song, too. But, you know, he still gets 8 tracks in there, and Richard Pryor, and a few other things that wouldn't normally be in a song like that either. So
Richard Pryor's mentioned in that song?
Yes, he is. You got Richard Pryor on the video was the line that I can recall from that song.
Because I know.
No, but Jackson Brown is one of the more preeminent songwriters.
He's a good songwriter.
Yeah, he doesn't just do "Baby, Baby." He's got a couple of songs with the "Baby" in it, but most of the time there's some meaning to the lyrics that he gives. So you can get what he's trying to communicate. And so he's
at
a different tier. It's kind of like you've got Jackson Brown, you've got like Tom Waits, you've got Warren Zevon,
Elvis Costello.
As songwriters, they are just apart from the masses of people writing songs out there.
So who's on the opposite side of that? Who's in the garbage?
Every punk band. Every punk band is in the bottom level in terms of.
You're such an ignoramus.
Let's talk about Henry Rollins for a second.
Okay. Talk about him.
Not in the garbage pile.
No.
Well, he's good for spoken word anyway.
No.
Give me a song of his that has meaningful song lyrics to it.
Well, I was going to say Liar, but that's almost a spoken word piece. And then he just sings at the chorus.
Uh-huh.
But I love those lyrics about, do you remember that song? He's dressed in the Superman cape.
Liar's a great song.
Yeah, those are like interesting lyrics. He takes on his total character. He basically does a little one-man monologue about some fucking liar piece of shit dude.
But Rollins' band wasn't really a punk band, though. They're more of like a straight-ahead rock band. Yeah.
Yeah, they got more metally and shit. Okay, right. Whatever.
So if you want to do a strictly Black Flag song, how about TV Party?
TV Party.
I don't think he wrote that, though. That was pre-Rollins.
Well, it doesn't have to be Rollins. It can just be Black Flag.
Was that what's his name? I can't think of his name now. The one on the
Circle Jerks. Des Cadena man written that? Or who is it? Des Cadena saying.
Oh, yeah. So these are great lyrics. It starts off TV party tonight. TV party tonight. TV party tonight. TV party tonight. And then we're going to have a TV party tonight. All right. We're going to have a TV party. All right. Tonight. We've got nothing better to do than watch TV. Have a couple of brews. Everyone's going to hang out here tonight. All right. We'll pass out on the couch. All right. Tonight, we've got nothing better to do. Watch TV and have a couple of brews. Don't talk about anything that we don't want to know. We're dedicated to our favorite shows. It's incredible. Hill Street Blues. Yeah, what are we talking about here?
And then he's got that. No, I got to say, that's like Clarence Darrow.
That's
right
irony.
Now.
That's what I'm talking about.
Brilliant legal strategy right there. Because I was going to say, Brendan, that's really not the best example of good punk blues.
I picked it because I knew Matt would... I knew Mr. Deep Purple would go off on how, you know, the mountains were coming out of the sky and standing there.
They should stand on these lyrics.
But Matt, it does have this point of like, yeah, they're inane lyrics, you know, but but it's like saying like, it's just commenting on like, that's all people did in the 70s, just go home and watch fucking inane, shitty TV.
And that concept was overdone like 100 times over in terms of people sitting and watching the television. That's where
the
term boob tube comes from the fact that people watching TV, it's a boob tube. So yeah, this particular concept is like it was like an overdone concept.
Not lyrics. Lyrics, it was a new thing. People didn't write songs like people said, go home, watch TV too much, they're idiots. So, I mean, I'm saying they're not great lyrics, I know.
Okay.
But
Brendan would disagree with you, though.
I need to understand more the depth of the song Godzilla. You know, like.
Yeah.
That tells a story.
Yeah, that tells the story of Godzilla.
About Godzilla rampaging through a city.
And you have to go back to what's the importance of Godzilla in and of itself. Well, it's whatever it is you choose to have, if you're a fan of that particular filmography or not. But it could be fun to look up the lyrics on that. So, it's like, why not just go ahead and do that? And at no point did I mention Blue Oyster Cult. You brought them up before anyway, so.
It just sort of fit in that wheelhouse of, yes,
but I just think you have to give Blue Oyster Cult credit because they use the word grimace in a song, and how many people do that?
Really? McDonald's commercials?
Other than McDonald's. I don't think they ever use that word, that name in a song, though.
They might have had a jingle.
Yeah, so...
Grimace. Grimace like shakes. Grimace.
Yeah.
Baby. Grimace.
Yeah. The McBurglar. But the McBurglar will steal your shakes.
Yeah, I mean, if you want meaning from Godzilla, it's basically talking about, Godzilla coming and, destroying things, and then ultimately it goes down into how history shows again and again how nature points out the folly of men. So they're saying that because of man, they are the ones who created Godzilla, and Godzilla is the one destroying all these things. If you've ever seen any of the Godzilla movies, you know this, because it's, you know, like atomic radiation was supposedly
it was a metaphor created for the Godzilla bomb.
I don't know if it's a metaphor.
It's beautiful, man.
I take everything back.
Godzilla was could have been probably the most perfect song.
Godzilla was obviously stomping on the people watching TV as they were listening to that Black Flag song.
They were watching Godzilla on the 4:30 movie.
That's right. They're looking out their windows. They're like, oh, no. Well, I have to get back to the TV show.
Okay, can I just – I'm going to be Clarence Darrow now. I'm being the defender.
Are you? Are you?
I want to reiterate.
You need to be him then. I want you to speak like him from that era. If you're going to be Clarence Darrow – I want a Clarence Darrow voice.
Shit. Members of the jury.
Oh, perfect.
Let me tell you.
Do it.
That, first of all, evolution is obviously true. That's just a dig at Matt. Second of all.
Because I am a monkey.
Second of all, that when all is said and done, it doesn't matter if a song has bad lyrics. If the song is good, it's a good song. And we're just quibbling about icing on the cake here. Because the cake is good. If the cake is good, who cares if the icing is? That just adds an extra amount of enjoyment. Is that what Clarence Darrow sound like? Am I doing a good job? Because somebody is affected.
Well, I don't mind the voice so much as what the hell you're saying is ridiculous.
I'm saying no idea. Like Godzilla, I love Godzilla. And even though I like to criticize lyrics, but it doesn't matter. Sometimes get away with it because, you know, who gives a fuck? It's a great song.
I think your point is well taken in that everybody can have – you can really find meaning in Yes songs that I don't. And that's the beauty of music is that I think everybody finds whatever meaning they find in whatever, even if it's repeating baby, baby, baby over and over again.
But I concur with my colleague. It's like, yeah, like that's why this is so subjective. Like sometimes I do like vague poetic lyrics because something about it speaks to me. And I'm like, oh, I get where it's coming from. No, I was just going to say, I think there's guys who are better songwriters and better at that. Like where this guy's talking about something real. And this guy is just basically being a freshman college poetry student. He's just spouting out. He's masturbating. He's jerking off on us. He's like,
all of the songs we're debating about have struck people in a very deep way to some extent. Otherwise, we would have never heard about them.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have achieved any particular popularity if they didn't resonate with people in a different way. So you still have to give even the songs you hate credit. There will always be songs that we'll disagree about. There'll be songs that we'll feel strongly against for whatever reason, you know? And yeah. I think when we dissect these songs, there are going to be people who are going to be yelling at us at their podcast going, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Afternoon Delight is probably the epitome of great songwriting at its finest, and no song is better than that particular one. And
well, I think we actually kind of thought it was okay. We actually came to the conclusion that those are better than most lyrics.
I don't know who came to that conclusion, Greg, but it wasn't sitting
in this
chair. I
think me and Brendan said that anything that's that pro-sex and a 1970s top 40 pop song that old ladies are listening to, I applaud that.
Songs tell stories, and not everybody likes the same story, and not everybody wants to hear the same story, and that sort of thing. And not everybody's into the same genre of story.
Yeah.
But good songwriters write good stories in their songs. And I think that's, even though I don't really appreciate Yes, I can tell that in some sort of J.R.R. Tolkien sort of version of storytelling, they tell a pretty damn good story. It's just not my cup of tea.
So that means you don't like Led Zeppelin either.
No, I love Led Zeppelin.
But Led Zeppelin is all about J.R.R. Tolkien.
But their lyrics, though. What do you think about their lyrics?
They're better. Let's just put it on the table that Led Zeppelin is way better than Yes.
They know how to rock. They learned how to rock and roll at one point.
I actually listen to more Yes songs than I listen to Led Zeppelin songs.
but they never learned how to rock.
I appreciate both bands. I really like Led Zeppelin. I'm just saying that I actually appreciate Yes on a different level than I appreciate Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin was their thing. But if you look into the arrangements and the instrumentality of the guys in Yes, they are heads and tails above nearly any other band that has existed.
But some of the Boston Philharmonic.
Maybe like three or four. What's that?
The Boston Philharmonic is heads and tails above any band you've ever heard.
If you combine them with Yes in a concert, yes, I would. If you combine them, yeah, I'd be all about that.
No, but they don't play that. The Boston Philharmonic.
They might. I think that's probably not true. I saw Jethro Tull here in Portland, and they played with the Oregon Symphony.
No, they do that all the time. I'm saying, though,
that's what
they
I'm saying.
Themselves, when they play,
yeah.
they play boring classical music.
So is the point here musical snobbery? So that
I don't know.
The guy from Yes, the drummer from Yes, is the best drummer that ever existed, so their music is the best?
I don't know that he's the best drummer that's ever existed. I think the band in and of itself, in terms of how they arrange the music and how they the complexity of their music is what I really appreciate.
Yeah.
And the thing is about Led Zeppelin's music, it's just not that complex for me. It's great rock and roll songs. You know, I really like them. But in terms of the complexity, in terms of what they do, it's not the same level. It's just completely different.
To me, they're too complex, even though I love them.
Uh-huh.
That's a little
Led Zeppelin's too complex?
Me. Yeah, like, I like the Ramones a lot. You know, like, that's like, I added too many leads in there. Why is Jimmy Page going off for a minute? He's great at it, though. He's one of the few guys where, you can wank all you want. You know, he's good.
No, but I understand what you're saying regarding a Philharmonic Orchestra, Greg. But that's like, if you really like classical music, that's where you go to. If you want music without lyrics, you go to classical music. But we're not talking about music without lyrics, really.
Or if you just
If you want music without any sort of, you know, interest, then you go to Yes.
It's like the Boston Philharmonic for rock bands.
Yeah,
but at least they have lyrics, and you can talk about mountains.
Muppets come out of the sky, and they stand there.
Those Muppets.
I love the Muppets. I don't like Yes, you like Yes, and that's cool. The question was, I think at the beginning of this podcast, was who's going to jail?
That would be Greg.
Greg is going to jail.
Yes.
I deserve it.
You know, can the three of us agree, because we kind of come from divergent viewpoints. I'm not a prog rock 70s guy. I don't like Rush or Blue Oyster Cult. And that's fine. I know a lot of people that do, and God bless. So is there a music we can condemn? Is there a
New Kids on the Block. Boy bands.
Okay.
Boy bands.
Early 90s.
New Kids on the Block. I'm good on condemning that.
Now you say boy bands. Does that include, Boys to Men?
Oh, yeah, all those bands. Not
Boys to Men is a boy. I don't think they're a boy band.
Or
I think they're R&B.
Or Bell Biv DeVoe.
They were
also
a boy band.
R&B.
They were adult men in Bell Biv DeVoe.
Well, they were adult men in New Kids on the Block, too.
No, New Kids on the Block were, that was the thing. They were boy bands. NSYNC.
I don't think they were little.
They were underage. They couldn't drink legally. That was the thing.
I'm not really so wrapped up about their age, although, you know, that's provocative.
good to know, Brendan.
Yeah, but boy bands.
Dates.
Boy bands specifically would be like NSYNC.
98 Degrees.
98 Degrees.
Yeah. New Kids on the Block.
Is there O-Town, Ozone, something like
that? Yeah, O-Town.
Yeah, there was some bullshit band like that back in the 90s. You know, where they take these young...
You mean like a manufactured band of...
Kind
of
like... their own songs. It was a factory.
Like the Supremes were created in some way. Or not the
Songwriters. I'll give that one a pass.
You know, there's so many people who are fans of those groups.
I know.
There's the Backstreet Boys, New Kids on the Block. And they had pretty major hits, too. And so why should they be condemned in terms of what they produce.
Because those people are wrong who like them. They should maybe be sent to the electric chair as well. Let's just have a massacre.
Are you allowed to change your mind about music as you get older? Can you like songs that you used to hate?
Of course. Has that happened to
you? Did it happen to you, Greg? What song do you like now that you used to hate?
So I'm going to tell you an artificial one.
Okay.
Where, like, songs I didn't allow myself
to like.
You're
just going to make up a song that you didn't like? No, I like it. I really like Country Joe and the Bongos and their song, Who Fuck a dog? Dog?
Who Fucked the Dog? No. It's that.
But now I hate that song.
No, what I was going to say is I artificially hated some songs because I grew up in the early 80s in a punk band in upstate New York.
What do you mean you artificially hated the song?
I was a punk rocker. The metal guys hated us and would pick on us and beat us up and shit. So I would be like, I don't like metal at all. Even though I'd be still listening to the radio and hear Crazy Trimbazzi be like, I like this song, but I can't admit it. I have to suppress it. I have to like squelch it down. I was in the closet basically about liking lots of rock songs.
Like what would be an example of a song that you used to artificially hate?
Crazy Train by Ozzy.
By Ozzy. No, why? But that's okay.
That's a great catchy tune. I love that song.
So what song did you actually hate?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Not artificially hate. What are you actually? And then
you know what's weird? I think it's a sign of my mental intelligence. I really haven't grown at all. So like things I liked when I was 12, I still pretty much like.
Yeah.
A few things I actually have done the opposite where I'm like, okay, that's shit.
Uh-huh.
I was wrong. But actually, most of the things I didn't like when I was younger, I still don't like.
Uh-huh.
Brandon, unless it was artificial reasons. Yeah.
What?
Maybe I like Bread more in a nostalgic way. You get those little things where like, yeah, I hated that when I was a kid, but now I kind of don't mind it so much.
Like the schmaltzy 70s love songs. Okay.
Yeah, because I was at a Kiss, and all my sisters were listening to Bread and depressing Carly Simon music. I was like, ah! And they were older than me, so they were in control of the stereo.
Uh-huh.
So I'd hear all that shit. Now, sometimes I like to listen to some Carly Simon.
Uh-huh.
Not often.
Right.
In fact, very rarely.
Was there a song that you hated that you now like?
I can't think of one.
Okay.
I've not progressed intellectually in 40 years. I'm just stunted.
Okay. Brandon, you got anything? Do you feel that you've changed in any way towards music that
have you matured?
You know, I found that more recently, and by that I mean like the last 4 or 5 years, I've become more of a fan of folk music than I thought I would be.
Okay.
Like suddenly Joni Mitchell was good, you know, sounded good to me, whereas before I was just like, who's this bitch?
That was the name of her first album, actually.
Who's this bitch?
That would be a great album. Who's this bitch? A collection of Joni Mitchell's best songs. But yeah, so I didn't expect that I would in my later
dotage
kind of become a folk music person. But I have. So that's a change. I can't say that I hated it in the past. I wasn't exposed to it. But if, like, my older brother played it, I'd be like, including shit like Bob Dylan, which is fantastic. But that sort of vibe, just I was like, I didn't hate it. I just didn't understand it. And I think as I've gotten older, I think I understand that music better.
Uh-huh. So what was the stuff that you actually hated?
Mm.
I'm gonna throw my own hat in the ring on this one. I used to hate country music as a genre. And like literally had, horns. So anyway, I hated country music as a genre. And so, Greg, are you taking a leak? What the hell?
I was pouring some whiskey into my cup. Sorry.
Oh, you do this. You can't sit still when we do the show. What the hell is wrong with you?
It's called alcoholism, it's look it up.
It's called background noise.
As long as he's not peeing, I'm kind of okay.
He's done that
before. Oh, I did
before.
Already.
Yes.
You know, I did today.
I did get that.
10 minutes ago.
That wasn't lost on me, what was happening there.
I didn't forget to mute. No, I muted.
This has happened in the past. He's found his way there. But I guess that's the charm of this interesting computer telecast that we have. All right, Greg, what are you doing?
Oh, shit, I forgot to mute again. Come on. Okay.
Are you doing your dishes while we're doing this? What the hell's going on?
So anyway, country music.
You crazy
person.
I'm
making pots and pans. I'm in the kitchen.
Why does that have to happen now, you whack job?
Shay, grab the rope. No, okay. Put a pin in it, edit this out, go, Matt. Country music. I'm muting myself.
But if you mute yourself, then you can't respond to things that are being said. How about you just have a seat or something? Why don't you give that a shot?
I can. Like, I know you're going to talk for like a 30 seconds, and I have time to do this stuff.
I thought you were going to say for 30 minutes, and which would be an app.
You could do that, too. You've been known to do that.
I can ramble a bit, yes. Anyway, back to country. So I hated country music because it was like really enforced upon me when I was growing up by my parents. So, but I got really educated in country music too. So I know the songs from that period because that's what we hear at the house. That's what will be on the radio. And so as I got older, I started looking back at like, why did I hate this music? And it was for various different reasons. I would have to explain it to my mother why she should hate that music too. And she wasn't willing to buy it in terms of my reasoning. But as I've gotten older, I've gotten to appreciate that some country bands actually were incredible musicians. They could really put songs together. They have a richness to their voices that aren't necessarily in other genres for some cases. And sometimes they're just fun to listen to. But, you know, I used to hate Hank Williams. I just thought his voice was annoying, his songs were annoying, and I didn't want anything to do with them. But as I got older, there's something that changed in how those songs resonated with me, where it's like I enjoy listening to them now, and I'll now sing them at karaoke because of that fact. So
you know why? Because you were listening to Yes at the time, and you were like, why do the songs go on for 8 minutes and have synthesizers wanking for 2 minutes?
You can't really respect Johnny Cash if you're a Blue Oyster Cult fan.
That's not true.
I don't think that's true, actually. I respect both.
I'm just pulling
Johnny
shit
Cash was like the other member of Blue Oyster Cult. You didn't even know it. He was like the silent partner in that band. Godzilla is really a song entirely about Johnny Cash.
He played tambourine.
Johnny Cash was like he would be walking through Japan and destroying buildings. And they just pronounce it properly. They say Godzilla, but they were saying Johnny Cash instead of Godzilla.
Can I just say, Matt, though, I think yes, our Greg. Generation has that.
Because what, Johnny Cash is a giant reptile?
Exactly where I was going. No, country sucked when
no,
we were
but all Boxcar
old country
Willie
great.
Is.
Hank Williams is all that great old country. George Jones and like all those guys were great. They were great, amazing, clever, catchy tunes.
Yeah, but I didn't.
But we didn't get
so.
That.
Yeah.
Well, see, I never even heard it growing up. It wasn't on the radio.
Oh, okay.
I didn't hear country radio. But we had the new country, which I think became an actual genre. New country. Yeah. That was more the 80s. So every kid I knew, like, oh, I like all kinds of music, but not country or classical.
Everybody who says that, I say, oh, yeah, tell me your favorite polka band.
That's another thing nobody likes. But maybe
somebody
some
likes
polka.
It somewhere.
Maybe that's
a when I worked
polka
at the radio, when I worked at the radio station in college, and we did fundraisers, the polka show always raised the most amount of money for the school radio station.
Because they were old people with money.
I'm just saying, so that means somebody likes it.
Yeah, but they had more money than the poor college students listening to The Cure.
I understand, but my only point is just that people like it.
They do.
Right. So you asked who did. I said, there are people who like it.
And there's people who like New Country.
Yeah, that's right.
All that shit, Shania Twain crap and all that shit.
Shania Twain's not even new anymore. You're talking about stuff like
I know, but that's the genre I'm talking about.
Kane Brown and Sam Hunt, who are doing like rap country.
That's new country.
That's popular.
But new country basically was when country was just like, we're just going to be pop, basically. We're going to sound like pop. Yeah. I mean, it didn't really sound country anymore. It's just like, this sounds like a top 40 song, but maybe a little twang in the voice.
You just have to remember that country and Western were two different genres at one point, and they put them together. So you had country music, and you had Western music, which is essentially the songs about cowboys for the Western music. Country music is basically people, you know, farming. So they combined those, became a genre. It's like rhythm and blues. So like you had rhythm, which is one music, and blues is another style of music. they combine those for a particular genre as well.
So, I think you were referring to the Blues Brothers when they're like, I like both kinds of music, country and Western. So, I think they were, it was always just a name.
No, it was different. If you listen to music from like Tex Ritter, Marty Robbins, that
I get it. Yeah, Western is like Gene Autry.
Yeah, it's
so
like...
What would be country of pioneers. Music?
Country is like, you know, stuff Hank on Williams. The farm and doing things. Not
Jimmy
see,
Rogers.
Western would be for ranches. Country would be for farms, if that helps a little bit. You know, what you do on a ranch is different than what you do on a farm.
That's a really good example.
So
you're a good
country
lawyer.
Music would be about planting potatoes.
Sure. There's that whole genre of potato music that's out there.
I mean,
Blake Potato Shelton.
Devo, I was deep into the potato scene in the mid-80s. So now it's all coming together for me.
I'm talking about the early days of music.
You
so
were a potato
the early days
poser,
of,
Brendan.
When those genres being created, they were separated. You didn't
I was
have
not a
together.
Potato poser.
You were a poser, man.
I object. I was a potato realist.
You weren't a
I was
bug.
A potato. I was
so
a potato
it used to
man.
Be the farmers would fight the ranchers because the ranchers would try to take the farmland to feed their cattle or their livestock. So
no, I get that as a historical point. I was just trying to...
As a musical point that goes too, but well,
like,
the stuff that's
Johnny
now
Cash
called
is what? Western.
I think he's his railroad music.
Oh, that's a whole other genre, railroad music.
That's right. I actually had the lyrics for Wabash Cannonball up to address at some point, which
was that was that defending or prosecuting?
That was defending. Yes, absolutely. Because
so is there a Chinese subgenre of railroad music?
I think
probably.
It's called John Henry, maybe. I don't know.
Johnny, that's a whole different... Now we're back to Black Lives Matter.
I was not talking about that. Why do we have to bring race into this? For crying out loud.
You dropped the John Henry bomb.
I never said anything about anybody's color whatsoever. And I'm all about not necessarily bringing those topics into topics that are not inflammatory.
Well, you know, you guys are in Portland, so you know
what? We don't have the racists that you have in Florida.
That's right.
We don't have the KKK marches like you have in Florida.
You grow up strong and hard down here.
You know, but either way, you know, I don't really want to make this a political thing because there's plenty of other podcasts who are dealing with the whole political situations and.
Yeah, let's get back to ball stomping, can we?
Yes.
And dog fucking.
Speaking of which, I see a guy doing both of those across the street. Well, so have we come to a stage within this topic, for this client? Are we doing this client justice? The trial of song lyrics, has this been brought to a fruition in any way?
I would say
I do want to bring up one particular lyric that I think is probably the reason why there's a lot of lyrics in rock music that you would disagree with in terms of repetition and for dancing purposes.
Yes.
And that would be what's considered probably one of the most famous rock songs of all time, Rock Around the Clock from Bill Haley and his Comets, where he goes, 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock, rock, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock, 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock, we're going to rock around the clock tonight. Now, that could be the beginning of a satanic ritual where they put the clock on the ground and they're rocking around the clock in some way. Like maybe, because in the beginning, this is considered to be the devil's music, right? So it could be that that was true. Maybe that was a thing that was designed for the purpose of bringing the devil to the planet and causing what has. If it wasn't for Bill Haley and his Comets, would we have those boy bands that you hate? Would we have those lyrics from Starland Vocal Band in Afternoon Delight? Would we have these things that
yeah
upset about?
There's a lot of lazy, shitty songwriters.
But it's because they did this ritual of putting the clock on the ground and rocking around it. I mean, maybe that's what Stonehenge. Maybe that's what Stonehenge is all about. Is like that was the original rocking around the clock. It was like the giant rocks
that which were like a sundial.
They were supposed to be like a big, you know, annual clock that was used. Yeah. So I think this all stems back, rock around the clock, rock music goes back to Stonehenge.
Forever.
I think this
they
is
cursed.
What, I think so any music, any song lyrics that we have any issues with right now, we can only blame the Illuminati. And I think that's the the perfect resolution.
That's a whole different issue. The Illuminati fight Satan.
But weren't they part of the Druidic rituals, like the Masonic temples? And
yeah, and they're very anti-Christian.
And they go back to the Druid. But I'm saying...
The Masons were anti-Christian,
well, maybe
actually.
We can take Satan out of it then in terms of... It's just demonic presence of some kind. And there were demons in other religions before Christianity.
That's the best explanation I could think of why there are so many shitty lyrics in the world.
Because
it has to be
Bill
some
Haley's
supernatural
ritual.
Intervention, yeah.
Yeah, because like, it goes on, this is where you see the clothing that you have to wear, too. So the next line is, put your glad rags on and join me, hun. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. And there's a lot of hidden meaning there.
Ooh,
we're going to rock around the clock
Ecclesiastes.
Tonight. I think it might be.
That's a
just
cold,
like
direct
turn,
cold.
Turn from the birds.
Yeah.
We're going to rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. So it's an all night long ritual going around this clock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. And then when the clock strikes two, three, and four, if the band slows down, we'll yell for more. Now, when the band they're talking about is probably like band of brothers. It's probably like an army of some kind. It's people working in a collection to achieve some kind of purpose.
Or a bunch of demons.
Maybe. They would
could
join in, and then they'd have to bring a fiddle out to, because when the band of demons joined in with the devil that went down to Georgia, then
yes,
that's how that, okay, we're good. We're tying in here. So
I'm still trying to figure out what a glad rag is, but carry
well,
on.
Glad rags are actually an old term. I'll get the exact definition for
it. I've heard that. There's a bunch of songs.
There's actually there's a Rod Stewart song that is Handbags and Glad Rags, if I remember correctly.
Well, Rod Stewart is obviously a part of that satanic situation.
Yeah, glad rags are clothes for a special occasion, one's best clothes. That's what glad rags are.
Wow, that's properly vague. Okay.
Well, if you put your – basically it's like Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. Right?
So it's like my big Atlanta church-going hat?
Yeah, exactly. Those would be your glad rags. Put your glad rags on. Your good clothes. And you're going to go do your ritual around the clock. Because when the chimes – okay, so there's chimes involved. When the chimes ring 5, 6, and 7, it will be right in 7th heaven because the 1 through 6 were destroyed in some fashion.
Not the first heaven.
I can't believe Matt's sober right now. He's in this amazing theory.
This is deep,
which I'm
man.
I'm fascinated by it. I love this. You're reading all this shit.
I'm terrified. I don't know that I'll ever watch Happy Days again.
But
you're
but,
reading all this.
But this is
shit.
This is where they get like the full strength of the demons. That's what he says.
Yes.
When it's
yes,
8, 9, 10, 11, 2, I'll be going strong, and so will you. So that's when they're getting all of the energy from those demonic forces. From just rocking around the clock. Again, Stonehenge.
Yeah, obviously satanic, yes.
Yes.
Obviously.
It is demonic.
This is obviously.
Remember, we're not doing – it's before Satan. Remember, it's demonic. So when the clock
demonic.
Strikes 12, we'll cool off then. They're gonna. So that means that it's probably like ritual bathing after that. They're going to get in some kind
obviously,
of ritual,
yeah,
bath.
Ritual bathing.
Then
obviously.
They're going to start a rocking round the clock again. So
ooh.
Back in the day, they had to do it more than one night at a time. They just had to keep going. So, you know, rock around the clock tonight. Rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. Again, all night long till broad daylight. And that's not just dawn. That's not like 5 or 6 a.m. That's like noon. They're going all the way to noon, and then who knows if they'll sleep.
Broad daylight.
Broad daylight means it's during the day when people and things can be easily seen.
That's really the definition?
That's like the as specific.
I'm really
as
glad
seven.
You defined that for us, man.
Yeah, that's 7 a.m.
Yeah, that's from Merriam-Webster. That's the idiom. Yeah.
I always loved story songs. When I was a little kid, literally when I was 6 years old, I always was like, oh, I like this song because it tells me a story. It's like, that's great.
I think what I've always considered probably one of the most perfect folk songs is the song City of New Orleans from Arlo Guthrie, because it essentially tells the story of riding this train in the final days of the luxury trains that used to exist, you know, but then how those days are ending. And you see these vignettes along the way that are described in the song where they're playing poker and they're seeing automobiles rusting at the side of the railroad tracks as you're going by. So I've always felt, and the music too, all combined together created this very visceral image if you listen to that song. Anyway, and that's been covered a few times. I think Willie Nelson did it and a few other people. But I don't know why I brought that up other than, you know, the song lyrics, they can evoke things. If they tell stories, they can take you to that place. They can transport you to the mountains stand there.
Let's not go there. But
in the sky.
With Muppets.
Stand there in the sky.
With Muppets.
Guthrie was arguably one of the great storyteller songwriters of all time, for sure.
Well, no, I said Arlo. I think you're referring to Woody.
I'm referring to both of them. I think okay. Arlo was also, he wasn't his dad.
Yeah, that's true.
But he was good.
He had like three hardcore classic songs that he wrote. That's true.
I sat down on this last Thanksgiving and listened to Arlo Guthrie with
Alice's Restaurant.
Alice's Restaurant with Dagny. Took her through the whole song.
I did the entire song at karaoke for Thanksgiving. I did like the full.
What?
I did the full 20 minutes. There was like nobody there. I'm like, all right. If like nobody else is going to put songs in, of the three people who are here, you're going to hear the entire Alice's Restaurant for Thanksgiving.
Is it spoken word, most of it?
Most of it is, yeah.
Most of it, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it tells the story, and it's kind of fun to do it.
They played that on the radio every year on Thanksgiving when I was a kid.
Yeah, there's not a lot of Thanksgiving songs out there.
No, they're not.
No, and good for Arlo for doing that. But, you know, it's not necessarily broadly known as a Thanksgiving song.
Yeah.
No, in my state, in New York, it was on the radio every year for Thanksgiving. It was
really?
A Thanksgiving song.
I thought you were saying your state, which is currently getting pretty intoxicated. I think we need to come to some kind of a conclusion. I think this is a good time to come to a conclusion here.
So in the beginning, I suggested that Yes should be sentenced to death. Specifically, the song Roundabout. And then, you know, quite interestingly, Matt, you had that song up on cue as a song to discuss that you like. So I'm not sure that lyrics, I think I've changed my mind. I think that lyrics are a deeply personal experience, and I don't think any of them should be put to death.
Not even my Sharona.
No,
definitely not. That sounds awesome.
Not even my Sharona or any one of the Ramones songs that's relatively insipid, but I love. I think songs mean something to you on an individual basis, and we just all need to understand that. But having said that, I do think that boy bands ought to be put in a box. You know, a small cage where I could poke them with a stick.
Because they have nothing.
What's the torture them?
Yeah, I do. I want to get Justin Timberlake in a little cage and then poke him with a stick.
But they have so many fans, though. Do you say that they're all wrong for enjoying those bands?
Yes. Oh, I do.
I think
they should be maybe put in that box, too, with them.
All the fans.
You like them?
A lot of the people in the world are a bunch of goddamn idiots.
And we all know that. Yeah, that's true.
I don't have any problem with that because that's just the way they are. Boy band music just accentuates their idiocy.
And yet they've created classic songs, though. I mean,
like classic?
Well, for example, the song Bye 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 from NSYNC.
Yeah.
That's one that's very popular at karaoke nights. That
you're
a lot
right.
Of people
it is
sing.
Classic. Yeah. See, that's what Brenner was talking about. Most people are stupid. So everything we're talking about is nonsense. It's like, yeah, most lyrics suck, but people don't care. They're like, yeah.
Okay, so you know what? You know what this really means is that the three of us are all wrong. Because
no,
everyone
we're
else.
Not. No.
Everyone else
no.
obviously
no, no,
knows
no.
better than us what's popular and what to
no,
listen
they're,
to.
They're all wrong, and we're the lone voices in the wilderness screaming the truth. Like prophets. We're prophets. That's what
tell
we
by
we're
our
prophets.
Beards.
That's like
yes, exactly.
That's homicidal maniacs are also out of the woods
guys
screaming.
In caves. Yeah.
All right, well, that being the case, we shall come to a conclusion to the trial, the song lyrics on trial, edition of the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker. And I want to thank our guest, Brendan, for joining us on this. If you'd like to join again, we can certainly add you in. I think
Brendan, please do.
Definitely added something to it.
Absolutely. Anyway. Anytime you guys want, I'm happy to be here.
Cool. This has been the Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker Computer Telecast, where any advice has been designed purely for amusement and deep-sea diving. Please take a candy on your way out, pet the lion tamer, and subscribe to this computer telecast if you know it's good for you. The Law Offices of Quibble, Squabble, and Bicker deny all culpability in today's events and are not to be confused with real law offices that have a secretary and books and stuff. Thank you all. Have a good day.